One morning, she was out in the back garden when a boy scrambled up from the garden next door and put his face over the wall. Polly was very surprised, because up till now there had never been any children in that house, but only Mr. Kettley and Miss Kettley, a brother and sister, old bachelor and old maid, living together. So she looked up, full of curiosity. The face of the strange boy was very grubby. It could hardly have been grubbier if he had first rubbed his hands in the earth, and then had a good cry, and then dried his face with his hands. As a matter of fact, this was very nearly what he had been doing. "Hello," said Polly.
"Hello," said the boy. "What's your name?"
"Polly," said Polly. "What's yours?"
"Diggory," said the boy.
"I say, what a funny name," said Polly.
"It isn't half so funny as Polly," said Diggory.
"Yes, it is," said Polly.
"No, it isn't," said Diggory.
"At any rate, I do wash my face," said Polly, "which is what you need to do, especially after..." And then she stopped. She had been going to say, "after you've been blubbing," but she thought that wouldn't be polite.
"All right, I have then," said Diggory, in a much louder voice, like a boy who was so miserable that he didn't care who knew he had been crying. "And so would you," he went on, "if you'd lived all your life in the country and had a pony and a river at the bottom of the garden and then been brought to live in a beastly hole like this."
"London isn't a hole," said Polly indignantly.
But the boy was too wound up to take any notice of her, and he went on. "And if your father was away in India, and you had to come and live with an aunt and an uncle who's mad, how would you like that? And if the reason was that they were looking after your mother, and if your mother was ill, was going to die?"
Then his face went the wrong sort of shape, as it does if you're trying to keep back your tears. "I didn't know. I'm sorry," said Polly humbly. And then, because she hardly knew what to say, and also to turn Diggory's mind to cheerful subjects, she asked, "Is Mr. Kettley really mad?"
"Well, either he's mad," said Diggory,
"or there's some other mystery. He has a study on the top floor, and Aunt Letty says I must never go up there."
"Well, that looks fishy to begin with.
And then there's another thing. Whenever he tries to say anything to me at mealtimes, he never even tries to talk to her, she always shuts him up. She says, 'Don't worry the boy, Andrew,' or 'I'm sure Diggory doesn't want to hear about that,' or else, 'Now, Diggory, wouldn't you like to go out and play in the garden?'"
"What sort of things does he try to say?"
"I don't know. He never gets far enough. But there's more than that. One night, it was last night, in fact, as I was going past the foot of the attic stairs on my way to bed, and I don't much care for going past them either, I'm sure I heard a yell.
Perhaps he keeps a mad wife shut up there.
Yes, I've thought of that.
Or perhaps he's a coiner. Or he might have been a pirate, like the man at the beginning of Treasure Island, and be always hiding from his old shipmates."
"How exciting," said Polly. "I never knew your house was so interesting."
"You may think it interesting," said Diggory, "but you wouldn't like it if you had to sleep there. How would you like to lie awake listening for Uncle Andrew's step to come creeping along the passage to your room? And he has such awful eyes." That was how Polly and Diggory got to know one another. And as it was just the beginning of the summer holidays, and neither of them was going away to the sea that year, they met nearly every day. Their adventures began chiefly because it was one of the wettest and coldest summers there had been for years. That drove them to do indoor things. You might say, indoor exploration. It's wonderful how much exploring you can do with a stump of candle in a big house or in a row of houses. Polly had discovered long ago that if you opened a certain little door in the box room attic of her house, you would find the cistern and a dark place behind it, which you could get into by a little careful climbing. The dark place was like a long tunnel, with brick wall on one side and sloping roof on the other. In the roof, there were little chinks of light between the slates. There was no floor in this tunnel. You had to step from rafter to rafter, and between them there was only plaster. If you stepped on this, you would find yourself falling through the ceiling of the room below. Polly had used the bit of the tunnel just beside the cistern as a smuggler's cave. She had brought up bits of old packing cases and the seats of broken kitchen chairs and things of that sort, and spread them across from rafter to rafter so as to make a bit of floor. Here she kept a cash box containing various treasures and a story she was writing, and usually a few apples. She had often drunk a quiet bottle of ginger beer in there,